T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, rolling in hour number 2, Sports Daily, talking about, as it's been a recurring theme on the show over the years, the potential, and I really kind of, you got to be careful about how serious this is at this particular point. I guess it's always a possibility, but no indications from anyone around the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, that anyone is looking to expand anytime in the near future. But an interesting piece and speculation by Barry Trammell, a very respected veteran columnist for the Daily Oklahoman, weighing in on Oklahoma and their options. And right on cue, our buddy from Texas, Robert, weighs in. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you all?
I'm well. Thank you, sir. Let's get after this and give us the Longhorn perspective.
Well, I mean, I'm with you. I don't see anything on the horizon as far as the Big 12 folding or anything else. Like you said, it behooves OU and Texas really to stay where they are. They're the dominant programs, and if they're up, then the conference in general is up. You know, and the draft pick numbers are going to be hurt by the loss of programs like A&M and Missouri and Nebraska.
Sure.
And Colorado.
Yeah.
And, you know, you replace those with TCU and West Virginia, and, you know, there is going to be a drop-off. Those two schools don't have the drawing power that the others do. But as far as Paul's recruiting worries go, I mean, as usual, when it comes to Texas and that kind of thing, he seems to ignore the context of his numbers, in that, you know, last year, yes, Maryland, Kentucky, those schools had better recruiting rankings, and while those are recruiting rankings, it's Texas after 3 5-7 seasons and a coach who's fired and a new coach. Whereas, you know, in Charlie Strong, the previous 2 seasons had top 10 recruiting classes.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, you're right.
And you know, Herman this year so far, he's flipped kids from Florida State, from LSU, from OU, you know.
And Baylor.
Top 4-star guy. And Baylor. So far this year, I mean, they pulled OU's top quarterback from California. He's gone to California, Oklahoma, and Florida so far for recruits. And so you're right. It is cyclical. If Texas has a good coach, then they'll be fine. OU seems to be doing good with, you know, they're good with Stoops. He's a good coach. And if those two teams are up, all the talk of the Big 12 having issues will start to die away.
Interesting. Can I ask you a real quick question, Robert?
But let me just say this before you do, Paul.
Okay.
I totally agree. I think Robert is right on target, because you're always going to have the West Virginia. Now, the faces may change. Right now, it's Oklahoma State, which has been a consistent team in the top 25. West Virginia was there a good portion of last year. Kansas State is always flirting with the edge of the top 25. You're always going to have those teams that TCU certainly has been there over the last, that kind of rotate about their relevance. But the relevance that you've got to have is Oklahoma and Texas. If you've got those two cooking with oil, then your conference is going to be in good shape, because you're always going to have that mid-range of school or mid-range of program that has an ability to rise up every now and then, be a top 10 team, get to a big-time bowl game, get players drafted. Oklahoma State's going to be a really good example. Washington, Rudolph are going to be guys that are going to be drafted high next year. Both of them opted to stay out of the draft this year, but are going to be high draft picks next year. So that sort of thing is, it's incumbent more upon Oklahoma and Texas to be good and to be relevant every year. That the health of the league has more to do with that than really it does whether West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Iowa State are fielding representative and good football teams.
Yes, they're doing what they've always done. Texas is down, and then you lost the other, you know, big national top schools.
Right.
All right.
That's my thought. Go ahead, Paulie.
Well, my question to you, Robert, is that Texas is a unique institution, not only academically, but also athletically as well. Really cool. It's a really cool school. A lot of people go there. What's the enrollment? 55, 60,000, whatever it is, just in Austin alone, let alone all the satellite schools. It's a really unique school. Here's my question to you, Robert. Who does the University of Texas have more in common with academically and athletically? And I guess maybe I should emphasize athletically. Who does it have more in common with? SEC schools or Big 12 schools?
Probably, it depends on your point of view, but that's probably
SEC. So would I. I mean, I hate to say that.
But the SEC's not taking Texas.
Well,
I mean, Texas A&M will jump off of a cliff and take anyone with them before they allow Texas into the SEC. That's why they left the Big 12.
I have a question on that for you. Don't you think that the rest of the SEC would overrule anything A&M?
I believe you're right, Robert. Yes, I do.
I think that they might overrule it, but I think it would create a real firestorm. I think that Oklahoma, with all due respect, I think that just because of the relationships, the fractured relationships that exist, especially between Texas and Texas A&M, I think Oklahoma would be a much more logical candidate to cherry pick than Texas would be. That's just my feeling, but who knows how it all plays out? I mean, you know,
well,
who knows?
And the other thing is, while I think they fit the SEC, I don't think Texas in and of itself and their administration think they do. I think they see themselves more as a fit with the Pac-12 or the Big Ten or the ACC.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And so I don't think they'll ever go to the SEC, although I wish they would if they move, because I like the Big 12. But if they move, that's where I would like to see them.
What an interesting dynamic it would be between the University of Alabama and Texas. I mean, Bruce,
we've got that now. I mean, you know, you've got that all through the SEC. You've got that in other leagues as well. You've got that in the Big 12.
No, you don't.
What are you talking about?
Other than OU.
Paul, right. Okay, well, Paul, you're going to use the logic and say other than OU, well, then how is your logic with Texas and Alabama make any sense?
Well, because you've also got Georgia, you got Florida, you got LSU. In fact, you got LSU.
That has nothing to do. You just made the statement. What an unbelievable dynamic it would be with Alabama and Texas,
right,
and yet you dismiss Oklahoma and Texas.
Well,
you can't have it both ways.
No, that's an
you just
no,
can't.
No, you're right. Okay, I'll give you that one.
You just can't.
All right, I'm with you. All right, you're right.
So I mean, you know, all right, Robert, give me 5 years. What's the Big 12 look like in 5 years?
I think maybe about the same. I feel like everybody's still. I think they're recovering. They're going to slow down before they do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be remarkably similar because, as the eternal optimist, I see Texas is returning to national prominence, and that'll help boost the Big 12. And I think the amount of money coming in from TV has plateaued, as you can see with ESPN and some of the
right
you've seen with them.
Agreed.
You know, that's gonna go away, and as far as that goes, probably the Longhorn Network will be gone at that point. I think it'll be fairly stable.
You know what? I do too. I think in 5 years, I think that the Big 12 looks exactly as it does right now. I know, Paul, you disagree with that, and that's fine. I think it'll look exact. Now, 10 years, I'm not gonna offer a forecast 10 years down the road, but 5 years down the road, I think Robert is right. I think that this last shuffling of the deck, and trying to figure out how you could cherry pick or improve your, at least get to 12, at least match the number of teams to the title. I think it was fairly obvious that the Big 12 got in there and said, you know what? Don't like the match. I don't like the potential replacements. You cannot take UConn, Houston, Cincinnati, or even a BYU, and in any shape or form say that you're replacing it straight up with the ones that you lost: Missouri, Texas A&M, Colorado, and Nebraska. I mean, with all due respect to the four previous schools, I mean, it looks like you're basically just, you know, trying to shove teams in there and hope that it all works out. You can't replace four schools like that with the tradition, the academic credentials, with all of the things that you got from those schools and those programs that are now helping to enrich three other conferences around the country.
No. Another point that people don't often look at is how well has that really helped those schools that left? You know, what? Maybe they are getting maybe a couple million more per year from their conference, and maybe they feel like they're more stable, and that's important in what they're looking for. But, you know, A&M hasn't won the SEC.
Nope.
They haven't come close. They haven't finished higher than third in their division. Nebraska is anywhere close to where they were in the Big 12. Missouri had a
nope.
little run, but they seem to be down. Colorado.
Yep.
Last year they were good, but they're not anywhere close to their hots in the Big 12.
No.
And I think those examples will make people pause before they jump ship quite so much.
Yeah. Although I can tell you for a fact, Colorado loves their association with the Pac-12.
From California.
Yeah, right. It's always made sense. In fact, Colorado never made sense. I mean, every time that I'd come out to Boulder for a game, it was like, why am I here? Why am I in this time zone? Why am I in the mountains? This makes no sense with the rest of the Big 8 or the Big 12.
Yeah.
Absolutely makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, then you're probably saying the same thing about West Virginia right now. Does that make sense to be in the Big 12?
No, it doesn't, but I'm getting a little bit more used to it now.
Yeah,
I really have. And I've made that trip a few times. Yeah. Well, say that again, Robert.
West Virginia makes more sense than Colorado culturally, I think. Right. I think West Virginia has more in common with K-State than Colorado does.
Right. Now, one last thing, Robert, before I let you go, and that is this. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a conspiracy theory with regards to the Big 12 and the expansion. Remember back in the day, this was just, in the last year or so, when Houston, BYU, I think UConn, maybe Cincinnati, maybe, I don't know who all was being considered, but it got down, I believe,
whomever,
to Houston and to BYU. And I was sure, I was positive. In fact, I stated I'm sure that those are the two teams that the Big 12 is going to expand. And then it was scuttled. The discussion and the nomination to get two new teams was scuttled and it was beat down. Who led that effort to defeat the addition of two teams? Do you guys remember? It would be Senator Bourne out of the University of Oklahoma, who basically, and the University of Oklahoma led that nixing of adding two members. I think there's something to that. And I think before we get off this topic,
First of all, I don't think that you can give the entire credit or blame, depending on your perspective, to David Bourne. I think that the league got into a situation where they looked around and said, does this really solve the problem that is perceived to be that we're dealing with? And I think the answer was no. I just don't think that they looked around and said, this makes us better. This is who we want to associate with. And that's nothing against any of the institutions. I will say this, Paul. I do think that David Bourne, who was initially the kind of saber rattler for expansion in the Big 12, I think he did change his perspective, having gone through the process, and probably did not provide any support for those institutions that were clamoring to get in the Big 12. Yeah, I mean, I would say that much you're right about. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know if there's a coincidence or not. I'm just asking. I'm just asking. I'm not accusing. I'm just asking.
All right, buddy. Robert, thank you for your perspective. Much appreciated. Absolutely. 869-1240 on the I Got It at Tad's Locker Room hotline. We're always looking for the Cindio tweet of the day, of course. You can join us via Twitter, at Savage Wichita, at Bruce Hurdle, whatever is more convenient for you. And, of course, we're getting comments now. Ernest saying, the writing is on the wall, Power 4.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think there's more people than you think that are probably coming to that conclusion, and I know there's a little bit of conspiracy theory in what I'm trying to say, but I'm trying to read the tea leaves, Bruce, and they're hard tea leaves to read one way or the other. They really are, but I think, well, I mean, it's just an opinion, but whatever.
Yeah. By the way, Air Brown yesterday on our conversation, he had a good take at the end of the show. Remember we were talking about. I don't know if you were listening to the show or not, Paul, but we were talking about timeline for the draft pick and Kansas City and whether or not Alex Smith would be there for the next 2 years as their starting quarterback or Mahomes would be the guy by 2018. And the sense was that well, there are plenty of examples of quarterbacks being patient with quarterbacks and making sure that they come around to maturity the right way. I maintain that the difference in that is what a team spends to get that player. And I do think that things accelerate when such an investment has been made. That's just how I feel. I feel like there will be pressure for Mahomes, not next year. Next year goes without saying, but by 2018 to be more in the mix in Kansas City, especially if the Chiefs cannot get past winning just one playoff game.
Hmm.
That's my sense.
You know something that's not bad.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's not bad.
Thank you, Paul.
I really see a lot of virtue in that. And I guess my question to you, and yes, I heard that segment. I didn't hear the whole show. I couldn't listen to the whole show, but I heard that segment. And I heard your guys' conversation about this. And I guess my question that I would have asked you yesterday, had I also been on the radio show with you, would be simply this. Is this young man cocky or is he confident? Which is it? Because there is a difference. There is a subtle difference between cocky and confident. Which is Patrick Mahomes? You?
I think he's confident.
See, I think
he's really. I think he's confident.
Yep.
And if there is cockiness there, we'll see how it is in a year or so. Mm-hmm. Because the learning curve is steep in the NFL.
I like the kid, though.
It's steep. Yeah, I do like the kid. I really do like the kid.
I got some of the impression I got from yesterday. And I like him as well. And I think now that I see – and by the way, what can you tell at rookie minicamp? I mean, you got
no pads.
No. You're not allowed to touch anybody. I mean, you're basically going to run some routes and throw some balls.
But you're throwing the ball around, you're winging it, and you're looking good doing it. Good for him, and he had presence.
Yeah, right.
He had presence.
Right. So.
And that's what you want.
And I like his pedigree. I know yesterday you mentioned his father, who was a big-time baseball pitcher. This guy was a good baseball player. You know, a kid like that goes to the locker room. He goes to practices. He gets to go to games. He probably goes into the locker room after games. This is the stuff that this kid was brought up on. This is the kind of stuff that this kid lives for. And not only is he athletic, not only does he have a cannon for an arm, but he also has that mindset. And he has an advantage probably of most rookies understanding, you know, when you're a rookie – this is a whole new ball game than being in the locker room of, say, Clemson or wherever you're from.
Mm-hmm.
It is a total different. Bruce, you've been in enough of these professional and college locker rooms to know it's different, isn't it?
Sure it is. Absolutely different. Air Brown got the last word in yesterday. Bruce, Aaron Rodgers for 3 years behind Brett Favre, just saying, okay, but Brett Favre was a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes.
I don't think Alex Smith is going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. The Chiefs have used 17 picks up the board in the first round and numerous future picks for Pat Mahomes that the Packers did not use at the end of the first round for Aaron Rodgers. And yes, you're absolutely right. Aaron Rodgers is a guy that stayed behind Brett Favre. And by the way, it created some anxiety between the two. Let's not forget that.
There was plenty of
grinding between the two players after that amount of time. But really, I don't think that the similarities of how they got there are very similar at all.
Right. No. Only because of what
the Chiefs had to pay for to move up to get Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, Alex Smith isn't a Hall of Fame quarterback.
No.
Alex Smith is fine. He's not Brett Favre.
Right.
Right?
And not only that, you're looking at Rodgers behind Favre at a point of Favre's career. What was he? I'm just guesstimating he's probably in the 50,000-yard range at that point.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
the guy is on his track to be a Hall of Famer.
Well, he's still unbelievably effective at that time.
And you're
right. Favre was getting to Super Bowls, for goodness sakes.
That's right. So why would you do that?
Yeah.
But here's the other thing, too, is you're exactly right. There was no mentor-mentee type situation with Favre and Rodgers. Stories are rampant with regards to how they would barely talk, how Favre would not bring the young man under his wing, how Favre would not give, you know, little inside tidbits as to how to be an NFL quarterback.
Sure.
Those two were basically estranged. I think part of that, and probably most of that, is Favre's fault, and there might be that touch of, you know, why would I give a guy trying to take my job, why would I teach him what I know when he needs to go learn it the hard way and it would give me time? And I guess I understand. Mm. Do you understand?
It's pretty universally accepted in this league that you better mentor the young guy coming along.
You better
take him under your wing and at least have some form of relationship.
Right. But those stories were legendary on the coolness between the two. I would suspect.
I still don't even think they're that close.
That's what I was going to say.
They talk now, but whatever.
Right.
All right. We'll take a break and be right back. We got plenty of other things to get to, and we will commence down that path in just a moment. It's Hurdle and Savage. It's you. 869-1240 on the I Got It Tad's Locker Room Hotline. Sports Daily on the Sports Station. KFH.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.